This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Have you checked the children?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Boogeyman is real, and you found him.
Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Hey everyone, welcome to Slashercast, the podcast where we talk horror and nothing but horror. Brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network and our YouTube channel, Slasher Media. I hope everyone is doing well. I am doing fantastic. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan.
Hey everyone, welcome to Slashercast.
And today we're going to be reading through the... Well, continuing the Alien and Predator read-throughs, and we're going to be reading through the first AVP movie, which is just titled Aliens vs. Predator.
Yeah, and then second one's Requiem. These films in no... I want a disclaimer here. These films are no way, shape or form canon to either the Predator or Alien franchises, even though both franchises have obviously
they've been mentioned by each other,
teased each other.
Like in Predator, you see a lot of alien things as part of the weapons.
Other than that, these films are just basically to get these two like horror aliens in the same movie, because obviously, as far as you know, the Predator films are set in present day, but the Alien films are set in the future. That's what makes these not canon to both franchises.
This was based off of a comic book in 1989, which features in the original story written by Anderson.
Yep, and the same way.
Who directed this film?
Who directed it?
Paul W. S. Anderson, who also wrote the 1989 comic book.
Ah, right. This film ran at 101 minutes for the normal version, and then 109 minutes for the unrated version.
So only 8 minutes of extra content.
Yeah. This film had a budget of $60 million production, and it worldwide grossed a whopping $172 million.
Almost made triple of what it cost, yeah, because the comic book was really popular, and people wanted to see AVP for ages, and yeah, they finally got it on the big screen.
This film was a rated of a PG-13. By the MPA and by the BBFC, it was a 15.
I'm surprised you can read that. It's really tiny on mine.
Yeah, I know. I'm on my PC, so it makes it easier. Right. So, yeah, we are going to read through this. You know how this works, obviously. We read through the wiki. We talk about it. We make jokes, read the trivia, do a mini review, do a rating, and then that's what we do. If you are wondering why Will is not here, he has a bunch of college work to do because they're trying to figure out, like, you know, what they're capable of. So he will be back next time for the next recording, but obviously he's always there for Media Universe because he's obviously one of the originals for that. He's not an original for this, so... I'm the main original for this pod. And then it was Tyler.
You mean you were the originator?
Yeah, I was the originator, and then it was Tyler, and then it was Will. So yeah. I originated this podcast. I could have come up with a better name, but you know, whatever.
Considering the network that we're on is...
Yeah.
Slashercast. And we're at Slashercast.
Yeah, it's...
So, it's a bit confusing.
It's a bit confusing, but, you know...
So, sometimes we say, welcome to Slash and Cast.
Yeah.
It where we are the Slasher Cast Podcast Network.
Yeah, it sounds really awkward, but it's fine. We're, you know, we are just getting on with what we do, you know, being busy and all that. Got our stuff to do and all that stuff, but...
Might need to come up with a better name.
No, there's no point in changing our name now. There's no point in really changing the name since we're already where we are.
Yeah, I guess you got a point.
So
it's just a bit confusing with this Slasher Cast and Slasher Cast.
Well, when you do the intro, don't say Slasher Cast like right after you say Slasher Cast. Just, you know, mix it a bit. Try and mix it. Do the whole like brought to you by the. I do what I do, because I say, everyone welcome to Slasher Cast, the podcast where we talk about nothing but horror, brought to you by. So I say we do nothing but horror and then brought to you.
Yeah, I think I forgot to do that
yeah,
part.
Yeah, just do input. That, and then say Slasher Cast, and then it makes all better.
Yeah, alright.
Yeah. Other than that, we are going to get into this, because we've just been talking about the fucking channel name for the past 5 fucking minutes! Like, look at me recording software is legit telling me we've been talking about this for 6 minutes now. But yeah, we're gonna get into this. I believe it's me who starts.
I think.
Yeah.
I also and you start it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So let's get into this. In 2004, a satellite detects a mysterious heat bloom beneath. How do you say that?
Uvertøye.
What the fuck?
It's Norwegian.
Okay. Uvertøye, an island about 1,000 miles north of Antarctica. In response, billionaire industrialist Charles Bishop Weiland assembles a team of scientists to investigate the heat source and claim any related discoveries for his multifunctional communications company, Weyland Industries. The expedition includes paleontologists, archaeologists,
paleontologists, archaeologists,
linguistics experts, drillers, and a female guard named Alex. Named Alexa Lex Woods, with security provided by Max Stafford and his team of mercenaries. That was a lot of information in one fucking paragraph.
You mean a lot of big words?
That too. A lot of big words in one moment. That was fucking dreadful.
Because if I weren't wide awake, I wouldn't be able to read that. Even I was struggling.
Yeah. Fucking hell, that was dreadful.
I guess I'll do this one. And it's weirdly marked. As the team travels to Uvertøye, a predator ship enters Earth's orbit and fires an energy beam towards the source of the heat bloom. When the Weyland Industries expedition arrives at the site above the heat source, an abandoned whaling station. They find a hole bored deep into the ice by the energy beam. And they descend to investigate. On the bedrock deep below, they discover a mysterious pyramid and begin to explore it. Finding evidence of a civilization predating written history and what appears to be a sacrificial chamber filled with human skeletons with ruptured rib cages.
Nice.
As they explore, they unwittingly activate the power source for the structure, awakening an imprisoned alien queen frozen deep within the pyramid. As you do.
Yeah, again. Nice!
Yeah, when you see human skeletons with ruptured rib cages, I would say you start to turn around.
Yeah, you turn around.
And go
think about your
stairs.
Choices and run. You don't go into that pyramid. and look around, you fucking idiot.
And if there's a power source, there should be two questions.
There should be two questions. What does it power? And why? And
why is there a power source back to prehistorical friggin' civilization?
Yeah, you don't go into the thing and look around and be like, hey, anyone home?
You don't think cavemen have power sources? Cavemen could draw friggin' carvings on the stone walls. Apparently, for many movies. And I've gerbled English.
Yeah, English escapes everybody.
Yeah, what were you doing? You were just distracted.
My mate texted me about a situation. He wanted to talk to me. I told him I was recording.
Okay.
But yeah, you know. Friends. Right. Meanwhile, three youngblood predators land on the surface and kill the humans there before making their way down to the pyramid. Several eggs laid by the queen are automatically delivered to the sacrificial chamber, and several members of the human expedition still exploring there are impregnated by facehuggers. The ghost... I was about to say Ghostbusters.
The Ghostbusters.
The chestbursters that emerge from the quickly grown... Them quickly grow into adult aliens. Oblivious to these events, the rest of the Wayland Industries team push on with their exploration, eventually discovering the Predator's plasma casters in a sarcophagus inside the pyramid. Recognizing them as incredibly advanced possible alien technology. They take them for study, but in doing so, they activate a mechanism that causes the pyramid to rearrange its interior every 10 minutes. That is one advanced pyramid.
I want to know, why are they down there for that long that the pyramid keeps on changing its interior?
Life? Alien technology?
And all they got was a plasma caster. You could have gone and watched an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and looked at the phase plasma rifle at a 40-watt range.
Why? Yeah, but wouldn't you?
What, pick up a plasma caster?
Yeah.
If I didn't know what it was, no! But because I know what a plasma caster is, I will definitely pick it up and just start shooting things.
You're fucking nuts.
Not people.
Hang on. Hey, watch. See my remote here? This is a plasma caster. Me picks it up and goes, ooh, shiny. Hey, look, I can shoot things.
I won't shoot it at people.
Yeah, you could accidentally shoot it at someone. You don't know how powerful those things are.
Then I'll just go, oops.
You're a fucking idiot. Accidentally murders somebody.
Oops.
It goes through a wall and all you say is, oops. Oopsie daisy, I shot someone.
We don't have many emotions, so the most that I will do is oops.
Wow. Wow. Great human being over here, guys. Great. Yeah.
You would do the exact same.
No, I wouldn't. I'd actually go to the police and say, here, arrest me. I did this on accident, but still. Go, you fucking. Just continue reading. Can't believe you said you would.
The group is soon ambushed by the predators, and most of the humans are killed, including Max and his mercenaries, while several others are taken by the aliens to be hosts for more of the creatures. The alpha alien, known as Grid, is not yet known as Grid.
Oh.
But the alpha alien known as Grid is only called Grid because of what happens later on in the movie.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean now.
ambushes and kills the first predator, Chopper. The lead predator, Celtic, then engages Grid in a brutal fight.
Is this like the first time they ever gave predators actual names? I swear it is. Mm. I swear this is the first time we've actually ever had like proper names for predators.
I think they're just nicknames.
Yeah, true, but like still.
And I think it's the first time predators have names as well. Because apparently there's one called Chopper and Celtic.
Mm.
And Scar. And Scar.
Yeah, so I'm guessing, yeah. Makes sense.
Why?
To be honest.
Why only give them names now?
I know, that's been weird.
At that time, there's been four alien movies and two Predator
movies. I get why the aliens don't have names. It's because they're just basically a hive. They're just soldiers. They're just soldiers. They're one hive mind, but one predator is an army to itself.
Because you saw what it did to in the first and second movies.
Yeah, an entire Predator again, is... like in itself a weapon, an army on itself anyway.
I think the lesser aliens are actually just called drones as well. Yeah. I think that's their official rank.
So yeah, they're like with aliens. With predators, it's rank based.
Yeah, so you have like the alpha and then the elder.
Yeah, you'll have elders. Who are the top, then you have your alphas who are bossed by the elders, and then you'll have like your drones and all that. So it's basically like their species are basically like a pack, and they go from a hierarchy. Alright, go ahead. But yeah, it's weird how they just give them names now.
Yeah. Nolan's Grid ambushes and kills the first predator, Chopper. The lead predator, Celtic, then engages Grid in a brutal fight. At first, Celtic appears to have the upper hand, but he grows overconfident and is eventually killed by Grid. Scar, now the last remaining predator, pursues the human survivors with the aim of recovering the plasma casters they have stolen. Waylon dies, making a stand against Scar. Shame.
Shame. Proper shame. Aww.
Damn shame. He was old anyway.
Rest in peace.
But the two remaining survivors, Lex and an archaeologist named Sebastian, are separated from the Predator by the pyramid's shifting walls. As he waits for a chance to pursue, an alien and a lone facehugger sneak up on Scar and attempt to subdue him. Scar swiftly dispatches both with his shuriken, then ritualistically marks himself by burning a glyph into his forehead using the acidic blood.
Yeah, that's what they did to mark that kill.
You know, I did watch friggin' Black Panther last night, and that reminds me of what friggin' Killmonger does.
I think predators mark their helmets with scars from their kills.
So it's don't think it was... Was it his mask, or did he take his mask off and do it?
Oh, no... Yeah, he took his mask off and then did it to his mask. I swear he did. Or did he do it to his face?
I can't remember.
I think he does it to his mask.
Oh, yeah, before he can put his mask back on.
Yeah, he does it to
the
his mask.
The second facehugger sneaks up on Scar and lunges at him.
Damn!
So you know what's going to happen there.
Dead bitch. Right? Through translation of the pyramid's hieroglyphics, Sebastian and Lex learn that predators have in fact been visiting Earth for thousands of years. It was they who taught early human civilizations how to build pyramids and were in turn worshipped as gods. See, this is like one of those times where it could be more realistic, where humans, the gods that we have today, we're basically just aliens with advanced technology that we just saw as gods.
That we can only hope to have the same technology as them.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not saying, like, bashing religion or anything, I'm just saying it is a possibility that's what happened. Because, like, people back then would have worshipped, obviously would have sought it as, oh, it's God. it might be that they're good, but actually it's just an alien race.
It works everywhere. You go under like a frigging boss because of his like power and like strength in some sort of sense. Yeah. I don't know.
Because every 100 years, the predators would return to Earth so that they could hunt aliens, the ultimate prey. Bred from sacrificial human hosts, if the predators become overwhelmed, they would activate their self-destruct device to eliminate the aliens and themselves, thereby explaining the mysteries and sudden disappearances of several ancient cultures. Sebastian and Lex deduce that this is why the current predators have come to the pyramid, and that the purpose of the heat bloom was a trap to attract humans to play host for the aliens. They decide that the predators must be allowed to succeed in their hunt, so that the aliens will be prevented from reaching the surface. However, Sebastian is taken by the aliens, leaving Lex alone.
Oh no, whatever shall a cruel damsel in distress do?
Whatever shall I do?
Scar, having apparently survived the earlier facehugger ambush, eventually finds Lex and reclaims his plasma caster. But rather than killing her, the two form somewhat of an uneasy alliance. After Lex impresses the Predator by killing an alien, they make their way into the alien hive and deploy Scar's self-destruct device to destroy the remaining aliens and their eggs, successfully escaping the pyramid and reaching the surface moments before the explosion obliterates the structure. In recognition of Lex's achievement, Scar burns a glyph similar to his own into her cheek. However, they are then attacked by the alien queen, which has likewise escaped the pyramid. Well, no fucking shit, because it's on the surface, you moron. After a fierce battle, Lex and Scar defeat the queen by chaining her to an oil vat and tipping it into the Atlantic Ocean, where it drags the queen into the depths. Afterwards, Scar succumbs to wounds and suffered during the confrontation.
Scar, rest in peace. Lex is shocked when a predator ship decloaks and several predators appear from within. They solemnly collect their fallen comrade, and the clan leader, seeing the mark on her cheek, presents Lex with a combi stick in recognition of her skill as a warrior. The predators depart peacefully, leaving Lex to her fate. But as they fly off into space, a predator alien chestburster erupts from Scar's corpse. And that is when Alien vs. Requiem will take place.
And it is a
so
bad
technically
movie.
Alien vs. Predator Requiem is basically around the same time as this.
Yeah, because I think as soon as the predator alien gets born, I think the ship crashes back onto Earth.
Because that's what happens in the beginning of the film. When Requiem opens, it's on that very alien shape. Chestburster, see Chestburster, then the ship crashes. Director Paul W.S. Anderson had previously been approached to direct Alien Resurrection. Today...
Oh, that would have been a completely different film than what we got.
Yeah, it would have. Today, Alien vs. Predator is the only film in the Alien Predator and Alien vs. Predator franchises to be rated PG-13 in the United States. All other entries have been rated R. It was also the first entry to be rated 15 in the UK, as opposed to the 18 certification all previous films had received, although subsequently, Alien vs. Predators, Requiem, Predators, Prometheus, and Alien Covenant have also been rated 15. This is the only movie featuring a xenomorph in which no humans are killed by an adult alien. What?
Yeah, no humans died by aliens.
Oh, well
except
then.
Except the chestbursters.
Okay, that's weird. Much like in Alien, the exploration team wears color-coded uniforms. Stafford's mercenaries wear silver coats, the scientists and archaeologists wear yellow coats, and Quinn's drilling team wear orange overalls. The only exceptions are Wayland and Lex, who also wear silver coats, although Lex quickly removes hers to reveal a red winter jacket and pants beneath. Okay, that's interesting, I guess. So, thoughts, rating?
This film was actually okay for me. It gave what the fans wanted. Maybe not in the best sense, as it did in the comics.
Yeah.
But it sure did a good enough job.
It was more of a passion project, taking these two like franchises who are like mainly like nothing to do with each other and putting them together, and it works.
It was a big fan service.
This one, it was a big fan service. This one, I really like this film. But then when Requiem fucking failed. For me.
They had a lot of potential with the Pred Alien.
Yeah, the Pred Alien was a good idea. Because obviously, as we know, the Xenomorphs...
they're bred from humans.
Yeah, they're normally bred from humans. So... That's why they look the way that they do. They look like the way they do because they're bred from humans. That's why. Basically, whatever they're bred from, that's what they will have traits from. So that's what the Predator Alien is. Basically, it's a mix.
And they sort of went that road with the new Predator film, where the new beefier Predator was like getting all the best bits from all different
species that they hunted. Yeah, because in that Predator 2018 film, it was obviously that we got told that Predator's been coming to Earth just to hunt. I've been coming to different planets for years just to basically become a better warrior, a better hunter and fighter and everything. That's all they want. So that's what they did. They would actually take what they learned and basically engineer themselves. But that other Predator who fought the big one and died only did that because I think like some learned that it was not right what they were doing.
It was inhumane.
Yeah, it wasn't right. It wasn't what they were supposed to be doing. But yeah. All in all, I'm going to give this film probably an 8. I'm going to give it a straight up 8 because obviously it's good. Better than Requiem.
I'm giving it a 7.5. I can't get a 7 because that's too low.
Right.
But I can't get an 8 because there are films that I put 8 that are better than this film.
Yeah, I get you. I'm just giving it because I really like the idea of a predator fighting an alien.
Yeah, and it was a great concept.
It's so much fan service, but
and that's why there are so many games that feature.
Yeah, so many games like there's Alien versus Predator games that you can get that basically you do a campaign as an alien, you do a campaign as president. I said president, what the fuck?
There was two games made in 2004 based on
I had one of them.
This movie.
I had one of them because it was like three different campaigns. There was the Alien campaign, where you played as an alien. There was the Predator campaign, where you also played as a predator. Then there was the Human campaign, where you played as a fire team. And then there was obviously like... online where you could like join your friends and fight each other as an alien or predator or human.
Wait, remember when you can have phones that play like that you can have like side scrolling games?
Yeah.
That's where these two games are from. From the Superscape and the Wicked Witch.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, any other thoughts? Anything else?
If they do decide to make another AVP, I would like it to completely skip two films.
If basically they've already said that they're already saying that they're rebooting Predator. Like Disney are rebooting Predator because obviously they own Fox now. Fox are redoing it with Skulls. So my thought is what's going to happen is I was thinking what they could do was reboot Alien and maybe
set it in the modern day.
Yeah, set it in modern day, and then you can have these two Titans actually be able to fit with one another.
Because what we talked about in Predator, there was a deleted scene where you would see Ripley and Newt in cryostasis.
Yeah, and it was played by a different actor. Like, that's the thing, that's what I'm glad they cut it, just for the fact that it would be, one, it would be played by a different actress, and two, it would have made absolute no sense. Because, like, people who haven't seen those films who have gone to see that would be, like, looking at those people and being like, who the fuck are they?
The Alien films are set 200 years in the future ahead of Predator.
Yeah, they are. So it made no sense why... I think what Shane Black was trying to do, if he did leave that scene in, was basically to say, right, Alien vs. Predator is canon by the fact that Newt and that are here, and somehow they brought an alien with them.
Like, even as old as Weyland Yutani is, he will not live back to when Predator was made.
Yeah. So it makes no sense at all. Like the whole... Like, keep the franchises apart. If you're going to bring them together, just make it make sense. But yeah, do you want to end us off?
Yeah, I will, actually. So this has been Slashercast, the podcast where we talk horror and nothing but horror. Brought to you, again, by the Slashercast Podcast Network and our YouTube channel, Slasher Media. And as always, I have been one of your hosts, Tyler.
I've been your host, Slasher.
And this has been Slashercast. And remember to keep on slashing, keep watching horror, and we'll see you horror fans again later. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Have you checked the children?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Hi, I'm Jackie. Wanna play?
Boogeyman is real, and you found him.
Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!